morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I am honored and privileged to have with me today the congressman. He's always been in our corner. I can't say that for everybody that works down there in Washington, but Congressman Neal has proven to us through ARPA funds and all kinds of veterans, especially takes care of the Eddie Bolin Northampton VA Leeds, I guess they like to be called now. God only knows why. But Congressman, thank you for all that you've done for all so many of us veterans, but so many people within your jurisdiction, but even more so as chairperson of the Ways and Means Committee.
Well, thanks. And if you have a chance, as I pointed out a couple of times ago, coming down Route 91 on Monday morning, or actually closer to Monday afternoon, yep. The Holyoke Soldiers Home is almost completed.
Beautiful.
Bill, it's spectacular.
Yeah. Just I want to go on a tour because I told the princess if things don't work out after 54 and a half years, I'll just check in there. She said, can I help you pack your bags?
You can. You can do Zoom calls. You'll be all set.
Yeah. You know, come on. Yes, it is beautiful, and a lot of it is to be attributed to you and a lot of other people who went to bat for the veterans. And
$264 million. Yeah, $264 million of federal money has been allocated to the new soldiers' home. And I always want to thank Dennis McDonough, who was the head of Veterans Affairs with Biden, and he was chief of staff to Obama. And I called him and I asked him. I said, "Look, I know you haven't listed this, but it's got to be a priority." And
right.
He said, "I promise you I will do it. It might be later in the year." And he did it.
Yeah. And isn't it rewarding and heartfelt and all that when you get people who actually do what they say they're going to do?
No question. And as you know, there was such a tragedy there.
Yeah.
The tragedy included a lot of families that had staked their all on what the end of life was to be like for their loved one. And the problems at the soldier's home were horrific. And I think that we're reminded when we see the new building of just how far we've come.
Well, and there's a different, a couple of quick war stories. One, the first time I went down to VA Northampton, it's 2,000% better now.
It is.
I ran into a really a nasty person. And I had the Polish princess with me, and he said, "Oh, Vietnam." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Sit over there, keep your mouth shut. We'll call you when we want you." And I thought, dude, well, just recently at one of the big box stores, as they call them, I had my Raw Memorial Day where my Vietnam hat or to Vietnam, you know, services. And this lady said, "Aren't you ashamed to be wearing that hat after
what
you people did to those poor Vietnamese people?" And, you know, our friend, our mutual friend, the good sergeant and former chief of police of the city of Springfield, taught me one thing in the academy has labored in my mind forever. You can't have a legitimate discussion with a fool or a drunk.
No question.
Just make up your mind what you're going to do. And my mind was keep walking because obviously those marbles are not all in the bag.
Well, sometimes, as I was just referencing, I did an interview with New England Public Radio, and I was pointing out to a group afterwards, I said, you know, one of the challenges you have in public life is that oftentimes the people you're dealing with can be at their worst, and that means you've got to be at your best. And I was pointing out that even with some of the most rigorous insults that we receive, most of us will simply say, appreciate your interest and leave it at that.
Well, you know, I've spent the last 2 days up to here scheduling new people that are and old people that are running for re-election or election to the city council and the school committee. Sure. And I'm thanking every one of them. And I mean it sincerely. Sure. You know what it is to be in public life today.
Well, the rhetoric is so charged. And the polarization is so substantial. One of the challenges you have is that sometimes if you meet with a group and you lay out sincere, heartfelt arguments that you have drilled down on, and you can't convince them, it doesn't make any difference. They go right back to the same position. And much of it has to do with, I think, social media, more choose-a-side journalism in America, and really small groups on both sides that push these arguments. And instead of trying to find a solution, sometimes the political reward is not to find a solution for these folks because it allows them to prolong their argument.
You know what's happened to collegiality, not only in Washington, everywhere. I mean, you know, we're of the old school. Don't take that personally.
I do.
I am actually older than you, but you have hair. But it's everywhere. I had a lady, and not a kid. Not a kid, a middle of the, heading into the sea, just ran me from behind with a grocery cart because she was in a hurry. You know how hard it is to walk with a cane, oxygen, and push a grocery cart? She's lucky I didn't fall down. Jesus.
Well, amongst the moments when Churchill was on top of his game with the way he treated his opponents, and he had that great line when Roosevelt said to him about Clement Attlee, who had defeated Churchill. Roosevelt said, "He seems like a modest little fellow." And Churchill said, "He has lots to be modest about."
Well, you know, being history buffs, I have to take a moment here and thank you and your team for coming to the dedication of the Gold Star Monument in Lenox on Saturday. To me, it was emotional, and it was really it's a beautiful monument. It is beautiful.
Well, thanks to you for being there and being such a capable advocate for veterans and their families. One of the things that was very significant for me as I had a chance to say hello and interact with many of those families, and what a crowd. I think you had close to 500 people there. It
Oh,
was
yeah.
wild how successful it was. But as I talked with some of those families afterwards, they are not looking for remuneration. They're not looking for a monetary satisfaction.
No.
They're looking for closure in their lives.
Exactly.
And as you recall in my comments, when I said that one of the best parts about the science of DNA, we're now finding decades afterwards from all wars who the individual really was,
Yeah.
where they'd been found. And it reminds these families, as I recalled on Saturday, think of those moms in particular
Yeah.
who died before they ever knew what happened to their child.
Yeah.
They waited a lifetime for that child to walk through the door from a bad dream.
Yeah.
And what you folks did in Lenox on Saturday highlighted the contribution that those folks made to America.
Yeah.
And I was caught by the Coakley family. I don't know if you know them or not.
Oh, sure, yeah.
As I said to them, I kept meeting them, and there was another Coakley and another Coakley and another Coakley. I
Oh,
said,
yeah.
"You folks have your own precinct."
Yeah, pretty much.
But when I was talking to them, they lost two family members.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to remind ourselves time and again that freedom's not free, and that when they were called upon, they did their part. And to have this commemoration in this very small town in Western
Yeah.
Massachusetts, sun shining,
Beautiful
beautiful
day.
remarks, everybody there, upbeat, of sincere mind.
Yeah. Great
Wow.
singer, a great singer.
Oh,
Great
terrific.
songs. I mean, really patriotic. Yeah. It was heartwarming, I think, to a lot of the old, myself being that in category, old veterans, because especially Vietnam. I mean, we took such awful, well, let's say tribute when we came home. But now, when we see things like this, quick story. I was given a Memorial Day just a few years back at Wakona Park, and got it finished. And but I always started because I have so many former friends who are very familiar with that. But anyhow. I started off by thanking the Gold Star families that were in the audience. And as I was leaving, and this lady come up, and she was older than I am, and she that's quite a feat today. She said, "I just want to thank you." I said, "For what?" She said, "For acknowledging us. I lost my son in Korea." And I said, "Well, I am so sorry, and I really, really will say a prayer for you." And she said, "Well, thank you. I've said a lot of prayers for him." And then we parted. But I thought, you know what? I got to be more vocal about this.
You should. I had it when we dedicated the Vietnam Veterans Memorial here in Springfield when I was mayor. That day, I mentioned that when I graduated in 1967 from Tech High School, which is just across the street here, my classmate, Skip Gerton, I went to college. He went to Vietnam. So from June until September, he was in Vietnam. He was killed almost immediately in Vietnam. And the day that I spoke, I said, I've read the names on the list. They were guys that went to high school with me. They were family members I knew from great families across the valley. But I said, Skip Gerton, and his father was in the audience. And he came up to me and he teared up for good reason. He said, thank you for remembering my son.
It but you know, in all honesty, you're one of the, and I please take this away, it's a matter, you're one of the old breed of politicians. You're the old school. You're in it for us. You're in it. You didn't weren't in it for a click or a sound bite or CNN or MSNBC or Fox. I know I sound like I'm catering to you, but I admire you because you've had the chutzpah to stand up.
Well, part of the lessons that I learned along the way, coming from big families of my grandmothers and my, that, again, as I say to my young staffers here, when people call a congressional office, they haven't started by calling a congressional office. That's when they've
That's
exhausted
not
everything else
right.
and they deserve an answer. Sometimes you can't provide them with the answer they want, but they get an answer.
They get closure.
It's closure. And I think that oftentimes I've met a woman, maybe a month ago, I was at Dick's Sporting Goods looking for a pair of sneakers. And woman said to me, well, I sent you a letter to the office, she said, and I didn't hear from you. And I said, well, here's what I'm going to suggest. I said, give me a copy of that letter, send it to my home, and I'll track down the original letter you sent. I'll have the letter that you sent to me. Sure enough, she sent me the letter. We got her problem straightened out. And I might be in the middle of settling trillion-dollar budgets and all of that, but never too busy to pay attention to these people. They kind of was just leaving an interview, and a fellow said to me, went, rolled down the window, and he said, I'm one of the Thomas family members. I said, well, I knew you all. And he said, I know you did, and thank you. And I mean, those are the moments. It's not the New York Times congratulating me in an editorial. It's having the affirmation of people like yourself and others back home, highlighted by the simplicity but elegance of the dedication of the Gold Star Family's monument in Lenox, Massachusetts.
You're so right. And again, the people who were there, many of them have lost family members, loved ones. And when I tell people, when they're like in my case, so many of my friends will be forever 19,
Yeah,
not going to
exactly
be
right.
old and bald and fat like me. And I often think of them. And maybe it's old age. I mean, when I get there. Oh, I am there. My wife's just shaking. Yeah, you are there. But seriously, when you've been through what we've been through, and you've come and you've had your life. Now you're old and retired. You're starting to reminisce, thinking back, so and so, he's going to be forever 19. He didn't get old, fat, and bald. He never had that honor, that privilege. And that's why I think Gold Star member, and I applaud you, and don't get mad at me, but you're never ever the first one to say, let's put troops on the ground.
Oh, no.
No, because you've lived with them.
It's a sacred value that we are in. What's the best way to explain it? That it's within our enterprise as members of Congress. One of the most important votes we ever cast is to send somebody's child to war. You need to think it through.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean we want to back down, but that point I used. Bill, there weren't many of us who voted against the war in Iraq. I was one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember, I'll tell you because you'll like this. So we were in the House of Representatives. You couldn't take your phone, you couldn't have any technology with you. And Rumsfeld was there, Condoleezza Rice was there, Cheney was there, General Powell was there, and the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was there. And General Myers, I think his name was. And so we got to the question and answer period after they made the argument for weapons of mass destruction,
Yep.
which did great harm to our reputation in the world. And so when Myers was speaking, he said, we're going to take a lesson out of what the Brits did in the north of Ireland. So I went to the microphone. And I said, General, you know more about military policy and than I do, but I know more about the north of Ireland than you do. I said, if you're going to take a lesson from what the Brits did in Northern Ireland, does that mean we're going to be in Iraq for the next 800 years? And he said, well, I didn't mean it that way. And I said, this argument that you folks are offering here, it isn't substantiated. Let the weapons inspectors finish their work because, again, you're sending somebody's child, as you said, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, off to war. And I do think that it requires some thought.
There's no question about it. It's like, I'm always hesitant. I do believe there are times then, but in today's day and age, putting troops on the ground should be the last thing.
The
We've got
last.
drones, we got B-52s. I mean, I've seen B-52s and when they dropped that bomb load, brother, they rattled the ground. Well, they wake the devil up. So, but it, you know, Congressman, as we go forward, I hope that you're a senior guy there. You've been through the thick, you've been through the thin, you've been through the rough, you've been through the poor times. And you know, some of these people who just got their feet wet,
Who know it all. They're all know-it-alls.
they're brilliant.
They're experts on everything. I pointed out to today as I did on Saturday, when I step out of my office to the balcony and I look over at the Capitol, underneath those flags on those steps, that's where Abraham Lincoln stood on March 4th of 1865. After the worst moment in our history, 750,000 people died during the Civil War, 2% of the American population. The Confederacy was still in Richmond, Virginia, 100 miles away from Washington. And while Lincoln was in pursuit of Jefferson Davis and Robert E. Lee was not to be forgiven, Lincoln looked at that crowd that day and he said, with malice toward none and charity for all. I mean, it makes a difference. Who we elect?
And it makes a difference why you're there. Nobody knows that better than you, my good friend. Nobody knows that better than you. We're gonna take a quick break. The congressman, he was here in Lenox, and he spent untold time engaging with people coming up, Gold Star families, and just people. And he treated them, I've seen others here, and we'll just leave it at that. Not Congress people, but others. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio. We are simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. We've got about a minute, and so I'll get you out. I'll get you out right around 4. Is that good?
Sure.
Cool. Because Jack told me. And if I, you
well,
know.
Jack gets his instructions, you know where.
Oh, believe me. I asked Jack. I said, Jack, I like you, and I'm going to give you some good advice about marriage. Here's the only two words you need to know. Yes, dear. Right? Ask him.
He's right here. He's watching.
Oh, I know. I know.
You're right.
Yeah. Happy wife, happy life. You'll get a kick out of this. You'll get a kick out of this.
Weekends, it worked.
Yeah. Congressman, you get a kick out of this. Go to the VA, right? And they got this idiot thing now. You probably have had it through Social Security. So tell me, do you feel safe at home? My response, I said, I certainly do, unless my wife's upset. Really? I said, no. And the nurse said, no, he's not right. So just don't go. All right, let's get back.
That's what witness protection programs are for.
You better believe it. And like right now, I'm down here in the subterranean studio, locked with the door locked. I don't get allowed to go up till 5 o'clock. We are back. I am here with Congressman Richard Neal. He's our congressman. Congressman, you'll be happy to know now our radio waves strand go down in the southern Berkshire now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah. And so now I can harass former Representative Pignatelli on air.
Yeah. Well, let's thank him for what he did for the Gold Star families. I mean,
yes.
He was sensational. I know he will deny that it was him.
Yeah.
I talked to him to congratulate him on Monday for what he did.
Yes.
But you know what? That's consistent with his public service. The whole family.
The whole time. He has a statement that I share with all people that want to get into politics. And it's so true because he lived it and his dad lived it. I'm old enough to know his dad.
That was a great guy.
Yes. And I refer to him as Mr. Pignatelli. Yeah. He said, no, call me John. I said, no, you don't understand. I don't call a whole lot of people Mr. That's a privileged title. But Smitty said this, and I think it's so true. And if you're thinking of running for politics or you're out there, think about this. Smitty's theory was if we do our job every day, we don't have to worry about election day.
That's right.
And I agree to that 100%.
Yeah, you win elections in non-election years.
Yeah. Yeah, and you win election by remembering who put you there.
You got it right.
Remember Tip O'Neill in the book, the young rep come up and said, boy, the whip wants me to vote for this and the whip wants me to vote for that or vote for this. And he said, my people at home don't want me to vote for it. He said, who put you here?
That's right. Yeah.
He said, you go the way with the people in your home and I'll take care of the whip.
Well, you vote for your constituents. You know, you can handle the whip afterwards. But I think that there's that old argument, as you know, in democracy about the role of the elected legislator. Are you there just to follow opinion or are you there to shape opinion?
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of both. I mean, are you the trustee or are you the delegate? But I think that people get themselves into trouble when they assume that they're the trustee because then they know it all. But at the same time, if you use the examples I did a moment ago about the Iraq War,
yeah,
everybody was cheering for that Iraq War then.
Yeah.
Not now.
No. And I think, too, you know, there's a lot of malarkey going on. You'll know what that means. For those other people, look it up in the dictionary. There's a lot of malarkey going on about this and about that, about the last election, blah, blah, blah. All I'm going to say is this. I will thank Joe Biden till the day they put the lid down on my coffin for passing the PAC Act.
You bet your life.
And you know, I know it's It's accepted to say bad things about him now, but I can't find myself to do that.
Well, in front of the delegates at the Democratic convention in Springfield 2 weeks ago, I did exactly what you just did. The PAC Act, the Infrastructure Bill, the Butch Lewis Act, the Rescue Package. You
Yeah.
go right down the list, and he's going to be considered a very effective president in American history. And you know something else, Bill? A good guy.
From what I, when I was down there on the hill, he was always he was never above anybody.
Well, he also has something that he can point to with great pride. He won the election by 7 million votes.
And I well, I don't want to get sideways here, but the I just think for my colleagues or your colleagues, not mine, my mom. Remember us. Don't forget this other guy. You're focused on him. What are you going to do for us? Why am I telling you? You're a genius at politics, but
No,
I'm
that's
out here and
great.
I'm hearing the people. It's
Yeah,
kind of scary stuff.
you want to. I think that in legislative life, that reflection is important, but vision is also very important. And
Yeah.
that is being able to figure out where you need to go and get what you can in the legislative process.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that it's perfection, you seek perfection, you don't attain it.
That's right.
And I think you try earnestly to make sure that you can improve people's lives. And the example I would use is the one that you just reinforced, the PAC Act.
Yeah.
It changed the whole notion of the burden of proof.
Not only that, think of the thousands of guys from the burn pits in
Right.
Vietnam to the burn pits in Agent Orange. To Afghanistan of the first Gulf War. I mean,
So if you had an ailment, a serious ailment, as I know you've been
yeah.
treated for, that you had to go in and prove
Yeah.
that what you were doing was truthful.
Yeah.
After the PAC Act, they have to prove what you did was not truthful. That changed
Right.
everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now, hundreds of thousands of vets are benefiting from this.
Oh, absolutely. Me. I'll
Yeah.
be honest with you. Me.
Yeah.
Me. And when you think about what government is about, all I can say is we got to get back to an even keel. It's okay to be dis to disagree, but not be disagreeable.
I couldn't agree more.
You're a master. You've been down there for years. You're a master at it. A lot of people, but I mean, some of these other people get on television, they're embarrassing.
Well, the idea that, you know, talk radio rewards that if you can outshout your opponent, you've won the
Yeah.
argument, it's not true.
No.
There's a certain set of facts that we all need to adhere to, and one and one doesn't make three. I mean, that's the point.
And think of my saying, because I always consider myself one of them. I didn't grow up rich. I grew up, my father was a firefighter and my mother was a nurse. And raised us kids. And I, when I go to the cemetery, this is an aside. When I go to the cemetery now, I thank them.
Yeah, I
I
always do.
thank
Yep.
them for how they raised us. But common courtesy, common decency, I don't think it's lost, it's just wandering.
Well, anytime that I have a chance, and as you know, when I visit relatives' grave sites, I'm like you. And I say to my children, when you're in town, you can stop by. You've got time to say hello and say thanks. And, you know, that aunt that raised me, I don't know what my aunt, we would have done without my aunt and my grandmother. There was nobody followed up on
Yeah.
the social service agency. Nobody came in to check on us. They just said, you know, it was that simple admonition, by the way, about food. It was take all you want, but eat all you take.
It was a pretty much the same as the old days. Now everybody's like this.
Oh, yeah. They don't. Well, the phone, it means you don't talk to anybody else.
Right. My house at 5 o'clock, you better be at that
Yeah.
kitchen table. And if the phone rang, especially with my sister, all her boyfriends, the phone rang and my father go, now what? idiot would call at 5:15 at night.
Your father was right.
Yeah. But I guess we gotta, I mean, technology's good, but we gotta draw a line, I think.
Well, technology has removed the personal contact in public life.
Yeah.
And the portrayal, oftentimes, of people because of social media is one that you would never have the courage to say to them in person.
Yes.
But you're protected by anonymity. You're protected by the falsity of a name you've made up. And what courage is that? You know, I have always thought if you had something to say to somebody, say it right up front.
Yeah.
And the damaging part of it is, and by the way, we often think in public life that it's the same person with 10 different names that they keep making up on social media.
Yeah.
They do it to promote outrage.
Yeah.
They're not problem solvers.
They're not problem solvers. They're not, you know, my mother used to say, if you curse and swear, you're just stupid. She
She
didn't
was
beat
right.
around the bush.
Never heard it in my home.
No.
Never once.
No. And she
And
was
we
very,
weren't the Rockefellers, I can tell you
oh no, we weren't either.
that.
We weren't either. My father and Becky, you'll remember this as a mayor, back in the days when moonlighting was against the civil service rules,
Yes.
my father and his buddies papered and painted.
Yeah.
Yeah, to make ends meet.
Everybody had a second job.
Everybody.
Everybody had a second job.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention recognizes that everyone has a role at saving lives. Through ongoing discussion and education, we may be able to recognize the warning signs and understand how to confidently address the subject of suicide in order to save lives. It takes just one person to offer hope and save a life. Contact the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention at berkshirecoalition.org for more information.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Here's a question I have, too. When you went to Washington, it was a different time. You know, I was there a little after you got there. I mean, Tip was the speaker, Reagan was president. I mean, it was just a different time.
There was greater collegiality.
Yeah.
And, you know, I disagreed with Ronald Reagan on an awful lot, as you might expect. But I also think that Reagan once again highlighted the role of likability. And I thought that at the time we would disagree, but it wasn't contempt.
Yeah.
It wasn't malicious. And I think, again, today, for small groups on both sides,
yeah,
the reward is to be malicious.
I think so.
And I think it has harmed our democracy. When I hear some of those speeches in the well of the House of Representatives, it astounds me. I was there 2 weeks ago, and one of my staffers said that they happened to be watching CNN or something, and they said, words that had never been heard on the House floor in all my years there by two different women.
Yeah.
They said my head snapped. Yeah. Looking back, I looked just like that. And I had never heard that before.
It's lost its mystical being. I can remember going on the floor. I was mesmerized. You know, it was a special place.
Special place, and there was a fellow from Alabama. His name was Sonny Callahan, Herbert Callahan. And he was a very funny guy, and he loved Tip O'Neill, and he was a real conservative Republican. And he said if they were sitting in an idle moment on the floor and Tip was in the speaker's chair, Tip would summons him to the chair and say, "Tell me about all the bad things you said about me back in Alabama this week." And the guy would recite for Tip all the things he had said about Tip O'Neill. And he said Tip couldn't stop laughing. But that was it. It was laughter. And the guy used the example, by the way, he always had to wipe his mouth as he said Tip O'Neill.
Yeah.
For audience preference. But he said he'd go out, drinks, food, laugh.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No, and I'm sure you remember this too. I can remember when Republicans would go to the Democratic Club, and Democrats would come to the. If they're caught now,
not anymore.
Not anymore, and all I know is we have to get back on an even keel. We got to stop this name calling. It reminds me of junior high.
Yep.
You know, and. What really bothers me, and this is the whole high holy days for the Jewish people, but what bothers me is when they refer to people, I don't think they understand what Nazis were.
Right.
You and I have been through Auschwitz. We've been through Buchenwald. We've seen just how bad they were.
Yeah.
And Eisenhower, I believe, should get a statue somewhere, but I'm sure he's got one somewhere. But when he said, "I want videotape of all this, because 20 years from now, nobody's going to believe this happened."
Well, at Yad Vashem, I've been there.
Yeah.
Which commemorates the Holocaust. And as you noted, I've been to the site where Hitler allegedly killed himself.
Yeah.
We believe. And I've been to the Polish prisoner of war camps where they were executed. And the other part of it that's important to remember is that the Nazis never received more than 34% of the popular vote.
There you go.
That's how they came to power. And the destruction that they caused man and womankind without ever having been popular or have a majoritarian government is astounding. And I hope we never lose those memories, because they should inform us as we go forward.
I agree, and I just wish this rhetoric. And before you run, I have to share this with you. I'm in a debate with some folks about voting. And my logic, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have to vote, because if you don't vote, that says volumes.
Yep.
And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" Well, it's saying you like what's happening or whatever. And you and I know that there's the people who forever, I grew up with one lady would go with my mother. And she would, she, the blank, she'd get a ballot, she'd vote for one and nobody else.
Yeah. They call that bullet voting.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we have to re-energize the voting people that everything's going to pass. Nothing stays the same.
That's what a representative democracy does. That doesn't mean we like the outcomes every day.
No.
But we've got to be civically involved to influence the outcome.
Absolutely. And, you know, before you go, I do want to thank you for the ARPA money and the rescue money. And there was an article just recently about what you've done for this area. And I think it's just really important that the folks know he's trying to do his best to take care of us.
Well, I was in Ludlow this morning. Thank you. I was in Ludlow this morning, and they had, you know, Ludlow's a great soccer town, as you know.
Yep.
And they pointed out today, until they had that ARPA money, they couldn't even restore their athletic fields.
Yeah.
And ARPA money allowed this long-term investment. And in a school like Ludlow, or city like a town like Ludlow, they said today they could never even host a home field track meet because they didn't have a home field track. This day and age, that would have happened. And they were all grateful, Republican and Democrat, that were there, independents.
Yeah.
But a reminder that that ARPA money was used as an investment. An investment.
And I think, where would so many other places be if it hadn't come out?
Oh, I'm going to be through the Berkshires. You know, Mount Greylock comes to mind, the visitor center.
Yeah.
That's where the money came from, ARPA.
Yeah. Well, even here in Pittsfield, I mean, ARPA's done so many positive things. And, and I hopefully when I interview these folks that are running for office, and I do, I applaud them. It takes real courage today to go, you know, into public office. But I want to tell them, start letting people know, matter-of-factly, what do we do with this? What? Because I know, because I stay involved with it. But Joe and Mary Sixpack are out there going, well, where's all that ARPA money? Well, it's gone to good use.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to call attention to it. We're going to ask elected officials at the local level, administrators, mayors, councilors, town select board members, to highlight what they did with the money.
All I can tell you is, Congressman, if you're ever thinking of retiring, don't. Because if you do, that means I will have to come down and sit in your office and dust all those things you have behind you on the shelves.
Well, they're nice tributes that the people have offered to me over all of these years. And believe me, I'm indeed eternally grateful.
And I would say that the people who know you and know your accomplishments and know what you've done for the, not only us, but for the country through your tenure there, I applaud you, man. I mean, you know, we go back a day or two, but you've stayed in the arena. I mean, right now I can't even find the arena. But, and if I do, if I find the arena, I forgot where I parked the car. So, Congressman, I know, Jack, I agreed to get you out of there rather quickly today. Thank you so much, and I mean for coming on this very. I'm not CNN, you know, or as I refer to it, MSNBC. I have another name I'll tell you off air. But it means a lot because people ask. If you're not on like monthly, they say, when are you going to have the congressman on? When are you going to have the congressman on? It's like the mayor. When are you going to have the... I just had the mayor on, you know.
Yeah.
But they have a question. But it's important. It's important to know the connection.
Listen, I love being with you. I get a kick out of you, but also I know how much you love the Berkshires. And I know what you did in your service to America and what you're doing now with informing the public. We're grateful to you, and thank you.
Well, not as grateful as I am to you, and I know you have to run because if I don't, Jack will tell Margaret, Margaret will call me and yell at me, or Margaret will say, why didn't you yell at him?
Thanks, Bill.
You'll be well. And Jack, don't take this as a threat, but one of these days, when my wife's at the MGM Grand, I'm going to try to get up and see you. Congressman, good luck, and really and truly good luck in D.C.
Thanks, Mel.
Thanks for all you've done. That's all right, the congressman's leaving. I'm going to stay. Don't be frightened. The congressman had to go. I mean, he's here. They're going to be back in D.C. very shortly to really, really decide on a bunch of stuff. Very important stuff. And I applaud him for coming on. He wants to connect with the people out here, Berkshire County, Western Mass. These are his people. And he was at the meeting the other day, the dedication of the Gold Star Memorial down in Lenox. And I have to tell you, folks, if you didn't see it, but we're trying to get somebody videotaped it. We're trying to get a video to put up on PCTV just to let you see it and hear the people that were there. It was truly amazing. And when you see people like Congressman Neal, the Lieutenant Governor of Massachusetts, the retired Commanding General of the National Guard for Massachusetts, it really makes you think this is a good place to live. It really is a good place to live because everybody cares about each other. I've said this 1,000 times. I've lived pretty much all over the world. Pittsfield is the only place I've ever lived where if tragedy strikes and people are down and out, people come and take care of them. Have a big fundraiser, whether it's at the A or the Pittsfield Country Club or the Berkshire Hills Country Club or the Legion or whatever. That's an amazing situation of people caring for people. And now that I've said that, the last thing I would say is that, as I said to the congressman, why it costs nothing to be kind. It costs nothing to be caring. We got a tough row to hoe, folks. You know, some of us are older, and it's a huge change. And as you know, I worked with kiddos that were in trouble with the law, serious trouble. And we have to get our arms around that, too. We have to start taking care of the kiddos and the teenagers. And let's teach respect. You know, that's all I can say. I don't want to babble on here, but I'm just so disturbed with the rhetoric on television by politicians, the attack on police officers and ICE officers. And all I can tell you is be kind, be nice, lift people up. Don't press them down. There's enough hatred in the world. We don't need any more. And I would say this to you also. When you're out and about and you go in a cemetery and you see a flag with a placard, say a prayer for that family. Because under that flag is a veteran. Maybe he didn't die in combat, maybe he didn't die in a war, but he was a veteran. And like an old sergeant once said, you all signed your name on the dotted line. I hope you don't really ever find out what that meant or means. And think about that thing. I do want to thank you for listening. I do want to thank you for being a loyal audience. And I hope you got a lot out of the congressman's visit. He'll be back next month. He comes on every month without fail. And that's a big deal for me in this little radio station, in this little radio program. So now, without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, God bless. And today, as I said, lift somebody up. Don't push them down. We're all in this together. We need each other. Never forget that. Never forget that. God bless. And for the people that are running for office, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your doing it, getting into public life. And good luck to every one of you. Good luck to everyone. And thank you so much for doing it. Folks, God bless. Take care of each other. Why? Think about it. This in this world, each other, that's all we got. Be well. Thanks a million for watching.